We open the scriptures this morning to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll read the entire chapter together. In chapter 5, the end of chapter 5, Paul is giving instruction concerning marriage to husband and wife. Some verses there that we've already looked at. And now in chapter 6, he comes to children. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication, for this in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that ye also may know my affairs, and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. The text is the first three verses of the chapter, Ephesians 6, 1 to 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. In this series of sermons on the family, beloved, we have been looking at children for a number of weeks. We've looked at who or what the children are as a gift of God, but also by nature sinners. We've looked at the responsibility or the role of the parents with regard to the children, and there are three things we noticed are the main duties of the parents. One is to instruct, another is to correct, and the third is to give example to those children. Now this morning we come to the main duty of children in the Christian home. For a Christian home to function properly according to the Word of God, there must not only be godly living on the part of the parents, but there must also be godly living on the part of the children. And so this morning, children, listen up, because this sermon speaks especially to you and your duty, your main duty, the main thing that God wants you to do in the home. Your children should appreciate it, that God speaks to you. That's beautiful here in the book of Ephesians, a book addressed to the church. And as Paul the Apostle, the inspired apostle, speaks by the Holy Spirit to the church, he speaks also to the children as a part of the church. And your children should appreciate that God has put you in the church. You're members of the church. You're members of the body of Jesus Christ. And God comes to you and speaks to you as children. That's important. But appreciate not only the fact that God, in His grace, has given you this place in the church, but also appreciate the homes and the families that God has given you. God has given you, as children, so, so much. He's given you more, many of you, than your parents ever had as children. And maybe your parents talk to you about that. He's given you much more in the church and much more in your Christian homes than your parents ever had. And so you ought to be thankful for that as children. He's given you a great blessing to grow up in a Christian, a covenant, a reformed family and home. So children, listen this morning. What is your main calling? And what does that mean? I want you to be able to answer that question when we're done this morning. What is your main calling as children? But this sermon isn't just for the children. This sermon and this text is written also for adults, because even though this morning children listen to the sermon and learn some things about their main calling from the sermon, so they listen and for 45 minutes, they learn what their main calling is. Their main duty is to obey their parents. They'll learn some things about that this morning. I can't be, and the minister can't be, the main teacher of that to your children. As parents, that's what you have to teach your children. And this morning, from this text, there's much instruction for parents on how to teach their children to obey and what it means for them to obey. And so we're going to look at that this morning as well. Not just the duty of children to obey, but also the parents' role to teach obedience to their children. Our text, our theme this morning will be children, obey your parents. Children, obey your parents. Let's notice first the command. That's a commandment. The fifth commandment, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. So first, children, obey your parents, the command. And then second, the reasons. And Paul gives several of those here. And then the promise here in verses 2 and 3, but also attached to the fifth commandment. So the command, the main duty of you children from the Word of God is simply this: you must obey your parents. Children, obey your parents. That's what verse 1 says. What does it mean to obey? I want you to remember this definition too. To obey is to follow a clearly stated command immediately, completely, and happily. To obey is to follow a clearly stated command immediately, completely, and happily. First, if we're going to expect obedience from our children, and here's where the role of parents' teaching comes in. First, if we're going to expect obedience from our children, they must be given clearly stated and understandable commands. The word obey means to hear and put yourself under instruction. And your children have to be able to know what to put themselves under, what to obey, what to submit to. The expectations must be obvious, and we must make sure that our children hear them and understand them. That's reasonable. Otherwise, it's unreasonable to expect them to obey us. Now, it's easy for parents to assume that children know what they need to do. For example, a parent might say something to this to his 7 or 8 year old son. I want you to go and clean your room. Well, the child hasn't been told to do this by his parent for about 3 or 4 weeks, and the room is an absolute disaster, and the father or the mother wants the child to go into that room and arrange it, tidy it up. But the child doesn't know what to do or where to begin. You've never, as a parent, gone with the child into the room and said, now, this is what you do with your clean clothes. This is where you put your dirty clothes. This is how you pull the bed straight. This is where your toys go. The child doesn't know those things. And so you say, clean your room, and the child doesn't know what to do or where to begin. Never been shown, never been taught. And so though you may understand the command, the child has an expectation placed on him that's impossible. For the child to obey, there must be a clearly stated, understandable command that's reasonable. We mustn't expect the unreasonable from our children. So that's the first thing about obedience. Clearly stated commands must be followed. To obey is to follow a clearly stated command immediately, completely, and happily. Immediately. That means as a parent, you only have to say it once, and you should only have to say it once, and then you should expect your child to obey. And if a parent sometimes does this, and I think you recognize it, you tell the child once, and then twice, and then 3 times, and 4 times, and the child still hasn't listened, and it's not until you shout the command and jump out of your chair, and it's obvious that they better obey, or else that the child obeys, that's not teaching obedience to your children. Obedience is immediate. Children don't obey simply because, well, Dad's after me, so I better do it. No, obedience must be immediate. If that's the way you teach obedience to your children, you say, for example, to your child, no more plunking on the piano. Stop. And the child looks at you and plunks a few more times. And then looks at you again after you say no, and finally it's not till you're raging that they stop. You haven't taught obedience to your children. They must learn to listen immediately. Not only when Dad is getting hot. So children, remember that. You must listen immediately. Obedience is obeying a clearly stated command immediately. And then completely and happily. If the command is clear and it's reasonable, we should expect our children to obey it completely. So that if I tell my child, you may play when your homework is finished. The first thing you're going to do tonight after supper is sit down and do your homework. That's the command. It's clear. And when you're done with your homework, then you can play. The child must do that completely. But if I change the rules or partway through, or if the child says, well, I've done my math and my science, but not my reading and history, so I've done some of my homework so I can play, then again, if you've changed your expectations that way, your child is learning something other than obedience. I've taught him that partial obedience is permissible. No, to obey is complete. Complete. So obedience is obeying a clearly stated command immediately, completely, and happily. And we know that the attitude in which a child behaves or obeys is important. Because look at the fifth commandment. It's stated here in the second verse. The fifth commandment doesn't say, obey your father and mother, but it talks about the attitude of the child. Honor your father and mother. And to honor something is to give it a place of respect and reverence. And so when a child hears a command clearly stated from the parent and goes immediately and obeys and does it completely, but doesn't do it out of honor and love for the parent, does it grudgingly, the child hasn't obeyed. Obedience is obeying a clearly stated command immediately, completely, and happily. The proper attitude towards the parent and the task. So that's obedience. Part of teaching our children obedience is that we correct them for their disobedience. We correct our children. We talked about this several weeks ago in the idea of using the rod and discipline as we instruct and raise our children. But this must be the main thing, the one main thing. This really is the thing for which we discipline our children. And that is that when they know there was a clearly stated command which they should have followed immediately and completely and happily, they didn't do it, that's when the child needs to be disciplined. And that makes discipline fair. It makes discipline reasonable. And the opposite is given in the book of Proverbs, that the child is left to himself. And so often, that's what happens in our homes with obedience. So long as the child is staying out of our care, isn't being disruptive, and I can read the paper or my book in peace, well, I don't really care that much whether the child is obeying me, doing the task I've given him to do, just so long as he's not intruding on my space and my time and my things. And you see, we leave the child to himself. And the child left to himself, the Bible says, brings his mother or his parents to shame because he doesn't learn obedience. He learns that he can follow his own way. If the child is not corrected, we do him a disservice. And so, children, you have to obey clear commands immediately, completely, and happily. But parents, you have to teach your children obedience. This is what it is. Give them clear commands. Expect immediate behavior, immediate obedience. Complete obedience. A proper attitude. And if those things are not there, well, then we discipline them for those things. Why? Why must our children obey their parents? The Bible gives us reasons, and those are the reasons that we must use to explain to our children why they must obey. You may have your own reasons sometimes why you think your children ought to obey you. But your reasons are not going to convince the heart of the child to obey you. Your reasons are not going to convince the heart of the child to obey you with the proper attitude and respect for God as they live in obedience. God's word only is the living and powerful force that will change the hearts of your children to obedient hearts. There are wrong reasons, then, that we might expect obedience from our children. If we're saying things like this to our children, "You obeyed because I said so." Or if we're saying something like this to their children, "I would be really happy if you listened to me." Or if we're saying something like this to our children, "You should obey me because just think of all the things that I do for you. Can't you do this little thing?" Or if we're saying something like this to our children, "If you don't obey me, I'll be angry. There'll be consequences." Then we're not giving our children the proper reasons for obedience. We're communicating to them the wrong reasons for obedience. Our children do not have to obey us because we say so. Our children do not have to obey us because it makes us happy. Our children do not have to obey us because, well, they owe that to us and it's something that we've earned from them. Our children do not and should not obey us out of the fear of punishment. Those are not the reasons for obedience in children. But the Holy Spirit and the Apostle here give reasons. What reasons? Children, obey your parents in the Lord. That's the primary reason. Because obedience has to do not first with their relationship to you as a parent, but listen, boys and girls, your obedience has to do with your relationship to God and what you think of God and His Word. Obey your parents in the Lord. Parents, the ultimate goal with your children is not that they are good listeners to you and that they listen to what you tell them to do. The ultimate goal is their relationship to God, their respect for God. The scriptures say we must do all to the glory of God. And that's going to govern the obedience of our children. When I tell my child to pick up his room, to pick up his toys, he must do that not because that makes me happy, not because that's what I want him to do, but he must do it and learn to do it because this is pleasing to the Lord. This brings glory to God. If I expect hard work from my children in school so that they get good grades and do well in school, that's not so that, well, that's not because I expect it from them. That's not so that they can achieve something here in this life for themselves, but they must do it with the motive, God has given me these opportunities, these gifts and talents, and I must use them to serve Him. They must do it for the glory of God. And so that means, boys and girls, children, you must see your parents as in the place of God over you. That comes out in the verses that follow when Paul speaks to servants. He speaks here first to children, then he speaks of fathers, and then in verses 5 through 8, he speaks to servants or employees. And he gives here the biblical work ethic, you might say. Servants, he says, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart. And then listen, he says, as unto Christ. He's saying to you in the workplace that when you do your work in the workplace, regardless of what it is, if you're a servant, if you're and the word here is slave. If you're a slave and you've got a slave owner, do your work not for your slave owner to please him, but do it as unto Christ. This is the work ethic that you should have. That your work is the use of your talents and your time in the service of God. And so he continues in verse 6, not with eye service as men pleasers, not just to make things look good for others and to get their praise, but as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. Now you come back to obedience to parents, and this is what he's talking about when he says, honor your father and mother. From the heart, not for men, but as the servants of Christ, because you believe this is the will of God, because you see, when God says, children, obey your parents and honor your parents, you realize God has placed them over you as your authority. They're in the place of God. They're in the office of parent. God is our Father. And God, our Father, gives us parents to function in His place, in the office of parent. Verse 7, he even continues, with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. So it's all about living before God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. And that's what we have to teach our children too. Our children mustn't obey, and they mustn't live an obedient life, because this will bring something good to them. They don't obey for themselves. We mustn't expect our children to obey because this makes us happy and this makes our life easier. Some of those things are true. But that's not why we teach our children to obey. Not for them, not for us, but children, obey your parents in the Lord. And that brings us to the second reason here. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, Paul says, for this is right. Now, what's right? Well, in the world in which we live, that's very relative. And if you listen to Dr. Laura, who gives instruction for families on the radio, this is the way she'll finish it. Now go do the right thing. Well, what's the right thing? It's not what she or any other worldly instructor might tell you. This is the right thing. What God has commanded. That's what makes it right. God is the lawgiver. Children, you obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, because God has commanded it. God has commanded it. He's given the law as the rule for our lives, how to live. He's given that law in its completeness, in the Ten Commandments especially, and you'll recognize in verses 2 and 3, that the fifth commandment is quoted here as the reason why children should obey their parents. And this is what the apostle is saying. Children, obey your parents. That's the right thing to do. And it's the right thing to do because when God gave the law of the Ten Commandments, He thundered from the mountain the moral code for man. And this is it. Children, this is right because God has said it's right. Obey your parents in the Lord. There are Ten Commandments. The first four of them we know have to do with our relationship to God, our love for Him and our worship of Him and our reverence for His name and our keeping of His day. And then the second six have to do with our relationship to man. And the first one is this, children, honor your father and your mother. And that points to the fundamental human relationship that God has established in the very beginning, a husband and a wife. And God says to Eve, your will shall be subject to your husband, authority. And then parents given a child, and God says to the children, honor your father and your mother. The world would be chaos without this basic relationship of respect and authority. And when God brings children into the world, He puts them in that relationship under their parents. This is right. This is the way things should be structured, because God has established this order. Children, obey your parents because God says so. And that means, third, children, obey your parents because you love God. When we read the commandments, we read the summary of them, and that is, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And here's one of the main ways that you show your love to God. You obey your parents. When they give a clearly stated command, you follow it immediately, completely, and happily, because you love God. And that's the reason to obey. You do it in the Lord. It has to do with your living unto God, bringing Him the glory, not for yourself, not even for your parents. You do it because it's right, because God, who is the lawgiver, has said this is what's right for children to do. And you do it because in your heart you love that God. You love Him. You're thankful to Him for what He has given to you. Let's remember, we love God because He loved us first. And I said earlier, you children are privileged. You're privileged to have God speak to you in the Scripture. You're privileged to have a place in the church. You're privileged to have a Christian home and family. God has loved you. God has loved you by giving you His Son to pay for your sins, by saving you. And out of thankfulness, because you love God, because He first loved you, you will obey your parents in the Lord. Do you see, parents, the real reasons why your children must obey you? Not because you say so, not for your peace and happiness, but in the Lord. Because this is right, out of love. And last time we talked about being an example of the believer to our children. And we said this, that everything that we say to our children is undone if our example of it isn't there. And that applies right here too. You can expect your children to obey you. Well, you may expect your children to obey you in the Lord because it's right, out of love for God. But if you, in your relationships to authority, and you have them, a wife in the home has a relationship of authority to her husband, and husband and wife together have a relationship of authority outside the home, for example, the husband to his employer, or in the church to the office bearers. And if you expect obedience from your children, you must live it yourself in your honor, your attitude, your obedience to those who are in authority over you. If you spend your time criticizing your boss, complaining about what you've got to do at work, as a wife, challenging the authority of your husband, don't expect that your children are going to obey and to honor you as parents. Now, one of the questions that will come up in the minds of children, especially as they get older, maybe as they come into their teenage years, is this: do I have to obey my parents anymore? You start to think, well, I can think on my own now, and I can think for myself, and maybe I know better than my parents do. So do I have to obey my parents anymore. This is something I did when I was younger, when I couldn't think for myself. But now I'm older. Surely I don't have to yet obey my parents. How do you answer that question? At what age does a child no longer have to obey his or her parents? I want to say two things about that. First, so long as you are in the role of a child, you must obey your parents. What do I mean by the role of a child? Well, you're in the home under your parents' care. You become an adult and you take on the role of an adult when you become independent from your parents. So long as you are in the home and you are dependent on your parents, you're living in their house, you're using their blankets, you're being fed at their table, you have the role of a child. And so the calling is, obey your parents. Maybe you become a teenager and you start to think for yourself. Maybe even someday you get a car and you get a job and you get some independence. But none of those things exempt you from this command, children. Obey your parents in the Lord. So long as you have the role of a child, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And even beyond that, when you leave the home, you must honor your father and your mother. Maybe you make all your life decisions on your own. You become completely independent as an adult, but still your parents deserve your honor till the day that you die. And this is what parents must expect of their children. It's important that there be this consistency in the home with the children who are in the role of child yet under their care. Make clear to them, these are the rules of the home. You have to live by those rules. You don't have an exemption from coming to the meal table because, well, now you're a teenager and it's harder for you to get out of bed. No, these are the rules of the home. There needs to be a consistency for the children. You don't get an exemption because, well, now you've got a strong will or you're bigger than your mother. No, this is God's will. Children, obey your parents. So that's the first thing I want to say about that. Children, you're not exempt from it. So long as you're in the role of a child, obey your parents. And then the second thing to say about this is that the older you are as a child in the home, the older you are, the more important it is, the greater the responsibility placed on you to obey your parents. As you mature, as you mature as a Christian, greater expectations can be and should be placed on you. We shouldn't get the idea that the older the child gets, the more right he has to defy and to go against his parents. No, the older the child gets, the more we should expect of him immaturity and responsibility. As an older child, there'll often be younger ones in the home who are looking and who are watching. And God has put you in the home, older children, as an example to the younger children. And God expects a greater responsibility and maturity in your obedience. Now maybe you look at that and you say, children, well, that's a lot of pressure on me as an older child in the home. Then remember, your spiritually older brother, Jesus. What did he do? He obeyed the will of his Father immediately, completely, and happily, willingly. His obedience to the Father was his submission to the Father's will for him, which meant great sacrifice for him. It was difficult. He did it, the older brother Jesus did it, for the sake of his younger brothers and sisters. That's you and me. He came and he obeyed the will of the Father for him, and he gave his own life and suffered on the cross because of you and me, his younger brothers and sisters. He went to hell. He was abandoned of the Father for our sakes. He continued in that to honor his Father. Now maybe you look at that and you say, well, that's fair enough because God is not unfair. My parents sometimes are unfair. If God was my Father, then I would always obey because God is fair. But my parents sometimes are not fair in the way that they deal with me. Well, let's look again at what God did to his Son, Jesus Christ. Yes, God was just and God was righteous in what he did. But from a human point of view, was it fair? Was it fair that Jesus had to suffer and be obedient in that suffering to make payment for your sins and my sins? It's the scandal of the cross, isn't it? That he who was innocent had to bear the guilt of our sins. Was that fair from Christ's point of view? No, but it was because he loved the Father and was obedient that he was ready to do it. And then remember that Jesus, as a child himself, lived in the same environment that you do with sinful parents, Joseph and Mary. And the Bible gives us a clear example. The only illustration, the only story from the life, from the childhood life of Jesus, which is a clear example of him submitting to sinful parents. You remember the example. Jesus went down with his parents to Jerusalem to the temple. He was left behind. They came back and they chided him. They rebuked him for sitting there in the temple discussing with the doctors of the law the doctrines of the kingdom. And he said to them, "Don't you know I must be about my Father's business?" And the Bible tells us Joseph and Mary didn't know what he was talking about. They didn't understand him. They hid those things in their heart because they didn't understand them. But then Luke 2 finishes by telling us that Jesus went home with them to Nazareth and he was subject to them. To two parents, Joseph and Mary, who didn't understand him. He knew better than they did. He did, because he was sinlessly perfect. But even though he knew better than they did, and even though they didn't understand him, he was subject to them. He obeyed them. And that's the example that Jesus gives for you as children. The Heidelberg Catechism puts it this way, very beautifully, that we should patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities. Your parents have weaknesses and infirmities, but they're never an excuse for disobedience or disrespect. You patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities since it pleases God. Now you go back to obeying in the Lord. Since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. You obey them. Sinless, sinful though they are, because God is pleased to put you under their government and authority. So do I always have to obey my parents, regardless of what they say? What if what they expect of me is wrong? Well, the Bible gives that one exception, and the apostles say this to the Jewish leaders who have authority over them. They say we ought to obey God rather than men. The one exception, of course, is this, that your parents command you to do something sinful. And then you say, no, I can't do that because that goes against the glory of God. I obey to the glory of God. But again, children, this is where you can be so thankful, so glad for the homes that God has given you. Sometimes there are children whom God converts as teenagers, young people who live in an unbelieving atmosphere with unbelieving parents. And those unbelieving parents know about the faith of their child, so they deliberately try to get their children to do things that they know are contrary to the Word of God. Those children have to disobey their parents because they ought to obey God rather than men. And that brings them persecution. Be thankful that's not the environment that God has put you in as children. He's given you Christian parents and a Christian home. Are your parents going to command you to sin? Highly unlikely. Obey your parents in the Lord. There's a promise. It's mentioned here, and the Spirit calls attention to it. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. So there are 10 commandments, and you go through them. The first one, the second one, the third one, the fourth one, the fifth one. And now, here's a promise to those who obey. The first commandment with a promise. And what's the promise to obedient children? It's listed in verse 3, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. There are two things mentioned there. The quality of life, that it may be well with thee. And the quantity of life, that thou mayest live long on the earth. Let's understand what those promises are, because these are the incentive for children to obey their parents. That it may be well with thee means that through obedience, the quantity, or rather the quality of your life will be improved. That means this, that things are not going to go well for you if you disobey. And it means even this beyond that. The judgment of God will come on those who live rebelliously as children. But the blessing of God will come on those who are obedient as children. If you're disobedient, if you're rebellious, there will be tension with your parents. You'll be unhappy in the relationship that you have with your parents. And ultimately, I suppose the example in Scripture we can use is of the prodigal son. You'll be like the prodigal son, who wants to get out of his father's home, and look where he ends up. He had nothing. He wasted his life. He had no one to turn to. That's where rebellion leads. The promise is, it will go well with thee. Blessed are obedient children. And then the second part of the promise, that thou mayest live long, refers to the quantity of life. Now, I suppose we can look at this from a simply earthly material perspective. If you obey, if you live a life of obedience, your life will be longer. You'll live more years. And I suppose that's true. If you look at the flip side, if you live the life of disobedience, you don't obey red lights, well, you're going to put your life at risk, and your life will be shortened. You don't obey speed limits when you're out on a motorcycle, you put your life at risk. You don't obey signs that say, no trespassing, or don't go beyond this point, it's dangerous. And you disobey, you put your life at risk. But that's not the idea of the promise here. The idea of the promise is much more spiritual, much deeper than that, because this was the promise that was given to the children of Israel as they looked forward to going into the promised land of Canaan. And God said to them, said to the children of parents, but said to them as a whole nation, the children of Israel, you live in obedience and you will live long in the land of Canaan. The land of Canaan in Scripture is always a picture
of heaven.
Hebrews tells us about the second Joshua, who brings us into the eternal rest. That's Jesus. That's Canaan. Hebrews 11 tells us that they, when they looked ahead to Canaan, looked for a city that had foundations whose builder and maker was God. The eternal city. And it's in the way of obedience, in the way of living in love to God, that this hope remains yours. You'll live long, not on the earth, but in heaven, in glory. That's the promise that's held here before the people of God. The way of obedience, the way of love for parents and love for God is the way that the child of God lives towards that heavenly city. So, children, as we finish, can you answer these questions? What is obedience? It's to obey clearly stated commands immediately, completely, and happily. And children, can you answer this question? Why must you obey your parents? You do it as unto the Lord. You do it because it's right. And you do it because you love God. Amen. Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We pray for forgiveness for us and our children, for the rebelliousness of our hearts. We pray for hearts of love, love for Thee, love for Thy commandments. Bless us, we pray, that it may go well with us and that we may live long eternally with Thee. For Thy glory we ask it. Amen.